Today, as we read the scriptures, listen closely as you've never heard it before. Matthew chapter 27, verse 57. When the evening was come, there was a rich man of Arimathea named Joseph, who also himself was Jesus' disciple. He went to Pilate and begged the body of Jesus. Then Pilate commanded the body to be delivered. When Joseph had taken the body, he wrapped it in a clean linen cloth. He laid it in his own new tomb, which he had hewn out of the rock. And he rolled a great stone to the door of the sepulcher and departed. And there was Mary Magdalene and other Mary sitting over against the sepulcher. You know what they was doing? It was watching. Somebody say watching.
Watching.
Now the next day that followed, the day of preparation, the chief priests, the Pharisees, came together unto Pilate, saying, Sir, we remember that this deceiver said, while he was yet alive, after 3 days I will rise again. And they said, command, therefore, that the sepulcher be made sure until the third day, lest his disciples come by night, stealing away, and say to the people, he is risen from the dead, so the last heir shall be worse than the first. Verse 65. Pilate said unto them, you have a watch. Remember, it was Pilate that questioned greatly, what has this man done? It was Pilate's wife that said, don't have nothing to do with him. So I see a little bit of arrogance and being perturbed when they come to Pilate again.
Yes.
Huh?
Yeah.
Yes.
Come on.
And Pilate said to them, you have a watch. Go your way. And I love this next verse, or next part of that verse. I've never seen it before. He said, go your way. Make it as sure as you can. What's Pilate trying to tell them?
Yeah.
If you think you can secure it, if this man is Jesus, he's coming out no matter what you do.
That's right.
Come on, somebody.
Amen.
You go ahead and make it secure as you can. But I kind of got a feeling he's coming out. We ain't seen the last of him. Verse 66. So they went, made the sepulcher secure, or sure, sealing the stone and setting the watch. I want to title my message today, and I'm not mixed up, okay? I know it's Easter, not Christmas. But I want to title my message today, Do You See What I See?
Yes.
You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Do you see what I see? I'm sure for the most part that we pretty well know the order of Jesus' life leading into his crucifixion and his resurrection. Scattered across the landscape of his journey, in many areas of interest that made us make a stop and ponder of what they mean. As several of us went to Israel a few years ago in 2018, we got to discover many of these areas, and it kind of brought to life the different aspects of this. So it makes us stop and ponder of what all these things mean. I'm captivated throughout the scriptures by the number of times and with the different interests of focus on the specific areas where Jesus was at, and they use the words or the term to watch. They use the terms shall see. Jesus himself used them. You will see. There was those that followed afar off. Doing so, they was watching. They was keeping watch. The word watching or setting a watch and many other words that relate to that. Maybe if we listened real close, we'd hear somebody say, do you see what I see? Prior to Jesus' arrest, he himself instituted what we know is the table of the Lord's Supper. And having that experience with his disciples, leaving there, walking up the Mount of Olives, singing that familiar hymn. Perhaps one of those hymns, one of the disciples piped up saying, let's sing that song, What a Friend We Have in Jesus. Hello?
Yeah.
Come on, somebody get real with me today. Then Jesus began to reveal the events that was fixing to unfold in the days ahead of his cruel treatment, his beating, his arrest, and the ultimate death. Jesus told them that they would be offended and his friends and followers would be scattered abroad. And with Peter's fortitude and his boldness, he began to set Jesus straight. That no matter what happened, he would not be offended, nor would he befriend him at any time. And if need be, he said, I'll even die for you, Jesus. Jesus, knowing the things as he told Peter about his future, because Peter, you're so cocky, a rooster will crow three times to remind you of his conversation.
Yeah.
Then we see Jesus entered into the Garden of Gethsemane, stood outside the gate of that garden, and it was quite becoming of understanding and knowing the scriptures coming alive in your heart and knowing how he prayed in that garden. They're in agony over the task that was before Jesus. Being burdened with great sorrow, he asked his disciples to watch and pray with him. While in such turmoil, he petitioned his heavenly Father that if it were possible to let this cup or this trial be taken away from him, but he exclaimed to his heavenly Father, but nevertheless, not my will, but your will. Your will over my will, Father. Your plan over my comforts. Because of his purpose. Because of his plan. His going to the grave, his going to the cross, his going into the tomb was not a mistake. But it was very much a part of where you are today in your life. And he did it just for you. Jesus came to this earth to buy back what was fortified in the Garden of Eden. What was forfeited, what was taken away. He came to buy back. The cross wasn't a mistake today, church. Jesus knew it was coming and spoke of it often. He had to go to the cross because there was no other way to bridge the gap between a holy God and sinful humanity. The cross was Jesus' goal and destination from the very beginning, and nothing was going to stop him. Nothing was going to stop him. His burden was so great and his sorrow that he asked his disciples to watch and pray. That this trial, this cup may pass from him, but not my will, Father, but thy will be done. Him praying three specific times, the same basic prayer, coming to his friends each time, he found them sleeping and not watching. He found them sleeping and not praying. I believe there is a great similarity between Gethsemane experience of then and the modern day sleepy church of today. Each of us have been told to watch and pray. So I ask you today, are you sleeping with the disciples? Are you watching and praying for Jesus' return? The modern day church of sleep and slumber is so uncanny of where we are today. Unconcerned, apathetic, and not praying or not watching. Do you see what I see? Now in the continuation of this, we now see the betrayal of Judas with a mere kiss and 30 pieces of silver. Jesus was arrested, defended by Peter. His action with the whirling of the sword to take off the ear of the high priest's servant. And according to Luke chapter 22 verse 51, Jesus did touch the man's head and ear, and he healed them.
Yes,
he did. I mean, notice who this man's name was. Do you know it's in the Bible? His name was Malchus. And I believe from that moment on, anytime he was around Peter, he was watching. Jesus was brought before Caiaphas. While Peter followed the crowd, listen, afar off. Somebody say afar off.
Afar off.
He was watching.
Yes.
Going to the high priest's palace, sitting around with the rest of the servants to see what the end was going to be. Are you watching to see what the end is going to be? And Jesus, after his interrogation, he was asked if he was the Son of God, and Jesus said, "You've said it. But here's what I've got to say. But here's what I've got to say. Hereafter ye shall see."
That's right.
"The Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power, coming in the clouds of glory."
Yes.
If you're watching, do you see what I see?
Yes.
All the circumstance in our world today, just as sure as he told them, "You keep watching, I will come back. You will see that I am telling you the truth."
Yes.
He told them in the book of Acts, the angels did, "As you see him go away, so he shall come in like manner." Are you watching? Are you seeing what I'm seeing? There's a circumstance. There's everything that was surrounding Jesus was pointing that he was going to the cross. He was going to the grave, but he was coming out of that grave. He said, "I shall return." And can I tell you, church, that same apathy is in our world today. I see the things in our world, but I'm not paying attention. But I'm encouraging you here today to watch and pray, because he is coming back.
Amen.
Coming
Amen.
Back.
That's right.
He said, "After shall you see." Judas acknowledged his betrayal of innocent blood. He took the 30 pieces of silver and threw the money on the steps of the temple and went out and hung himself. Unfortunately, Judas did not see that there was a Redeemer that died for him, and he could have had the same experience as the rest of the disciples if he had only seen. Jesus is taken to the governor, Pilate. He is questioned again. He is interrogated again. As we all know, as I've mentioned already, Pilate's wife told her husband that she had suffered many things concerning him in her dream, not to have anything to do with this man. For you see, during the feast, during this particular time, the governor had the authority to release any prisoner to the people that they desired. With Pilate unable to find any legitimate cause for Christ's death, he asked the multitude if he should release Jesus or Barabbas to them. Being persuaded by the chief priests and the elders, they asked for Barabbas to be set free. Questioned by the governor of why this man, Jesus, was worthy of death, the crowd become even more violent with their answer than ever, and about freeing Barabbas, said, "Why don't you just go ahead and free Barabbas and crucify this Jesus?" Do you see what I see? It was a must. It had to be for our salvation that God, through his Son, would connect a holy God to a sinful people, that we might have life and that we might have it more abundantly. After Pilate washed his hands of the matter, the Jews said that his blood, just put it on us and for our children. Pilate releasing Barabbas to the people and delivering Jesus to be crucified. He was stripped of his clothes, Jesus was, replaced with a scarlet robe, with a crown of thorns shoved upon his head, a reed placed in his right hand, as they knelt before him in mockery, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews." I can just about hear the footprints of the hoofs of the horses as they marched along the cobbled streets. I can hear the crowd in the background crying, "Crucify him, crucifying him." And most of them did not even have a clue what was going on or what was happening. They didn't see the bigger picture. They beat him till he was unrecognizable. They spit on him and slapped him with reeds, taking the scarlet robe back off of his shoulder and putting his own set of clothes on him. Simon of Cyrene happened to be coming by, and they compelled him to carry the cross, giving Jesus vinegar and guile to drink. As they crucified Jesus, casting lots for his clothes, tearing them in pieces and setting over his head the title, "This is Jesus, the King of the Jews," in full mockery that no king should be treated with such disrespect. Jesus was crucified among common thieves. I ask you today, church, do you see what I see? Therefore, I observe in our world today that we cast lots by taking a chance with the life that Christ has given us, playing our cards of life, hoping that we won't get caught in our sinful ways. Or maybe the rapture won't take place until I can kind of get things right. But I come to tell you today that the rapture, when the trumpet sounds, will wait for no man. And will not be compromised by sin, Satan, or the destiny of this world. He is on his own time schedule, and he will return in that specific time. Treating Jesus as just a common loan shark, if you please, to get us out of our latest jam and scenario. Do you see what I see? The ultimate in torture, disgrace, and disguise and disgust. Nailed to a cross, about from the sixth hour to the ninth hour, there was darkness all over the land. And at the end of that darkness, Jesus cried out in sheer agony, feeling that God the Father himself had forsaken him. In that process of what was taking place, as Jesus cried out with a loud voice and yielded up his life, the veil of that temple was torn from top to bottom, giving you and I access to God through his Son, Jesus Christ. That was his plan. That was his purpose. Do you see what I see? That temple veil was torn from top to bottom, giving us access to God himself through his Son, Jesus Christ. For you see, the earth did quake, sending rocks flying off of the top of the mountain, graves bursting open, exposing their dead, making alive, and many saints that had been sleeping in their grave come out among the tombs and was in Jerusalem, and they appeared to many of the folks there in that vicinity. Do you see what I see? It's fixing to happen again, church. Are you ready? He is risen. He is alive. Will you arise when that trumpet sounds? Do you see what I see? Hear me today. As darkness in our world and in our country as never before, and all the catastrophes of tornadoes, earthquakes, wars, and rumors of wars in our world today, I did not come to bring a spirit of fear, but I did come to bring you a spirit of hope, of resurrection, that we too shall be like him because he is coming back. Do you see what I see? We live in a society, in a world today, to where we're caught up with our own agenda in our own circumstance, to where we do not hear and we do not see what is happening in our world today. And we have this mentality, oh, it'll all blow over. But I'm here to tell you today, this stuff that's going on in our world today ain't going to blow over. And Jesus Christ is coming back. And judgment day's coming, and I'm telling you today to be ready for that trumpet to sound. Matthew chapter 27, verse 54 tells us, "Now when the centurion and they that were with him watching Jesus saw the earthquake and those things that were done, they feared greatly, saying, 'Truly, this was the Son of God.'" Do you see what I see? So I'm asking you, in that scenario, what's it going to take? What earthquake is going to have to shake you to get you to see that the Son of God is coming back? Do you see what I see? Verse 55 of that same chapter says, and many women were there beholding afar off, which followed Jesus from Galilee, ministering unto him. So I ask you today, how far off are you observing from? How far off are you watching? Are you hoping that you can live however you want to? Till you make sure that you see certain things? I'm telling you today, church, if the good man of the house had known what hour that the thief would have come, he would have prepared himself and been ready. The burial of Jesus in Matthew 27:57 said, when the evening was come, there came a rich man of Arimathea, whose name was Joseph, also himself with Jesus, the disciples. And he went to Pilate, and I know I'm reading my scriptures again, but bear with me. Easter only comes once a year. Hello?
Keep on.
And he went to Pilate and begged the body of Jesus. Pilate commanded the body to be delivered. If anybody's dozing off, look at your neighbor right now and jar them real good. Resurrect them. Hello?
Amen.
And he went to Pilate and begged the body of Jesus. And Pilate commanded the body to be delivered. And when Joseph had taken the body, wrapped in clean linen cloth, and laid it in a new tomb, which he had hewn the rock, and rolled over the stone over the door of the sepulcher, and he departed. And there was Mary Magdalene and the other Mary sitting over against the sepulcher, watching. I wonder what they was watching for. What are you watching for? All the ladies were watching the developments of Jesus' intently going to the cross. His intent was nothing was going to stop him. You see, the sepulcher of Joseph, where he took care of Jesus' body and put him in the tomb, was asked to be guarded. The next day that followed the day of preparation, the chief priests, the Pharisees came together to Pilate saying, sir, we remember that this deceiver had said that he was coming back and rise again after the third day. Command that there be a watch put upon them. And Pilate said, do you have a watch? You make it sure. Do the best that you can. So they went and made the sepulcher sure, sealing the stone and the watch. But it wasn't sure enough. It wasn't sealed enough. Do you see what I see? At the end of the Sabbath, as it drew near to the first day of the week, behold, there was a great earthquake. For the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and set upon it. His countenance was like lightning, and his raiment as white as snow. And for fear of him, that the keepers did shake and become as dead men. And the angel answered and said to the women, fear ye not, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He's not here, for he is risen. As he said, come and see the place where the Lord lay. I was there. The tomb was empty.
Amen.
Hello? Amen. How many of you guys went with us? And you can confirm that tomb was empty. It was, there was nobody there. It was empty. Come and see where he had laid. Do you see what I see? Are you watching for him to return in the clouds? And Jesus said, don't be afraid. Tell the rest of them when he appeared to them. Tell the rest of them that I'm going into Galilee and ye shall see me. Are you watching? Are you watching? Hang on, I'm almost finished. Got a few more scriptures. When they were going, behold, some of the watch came into the city. There was some that was following Jesus all through the circumstances of his beating, to the cross, to the grave. And there, when the tomb was empty, And when he went into Galilee, there was those that had been watching the whole time. So my point is today, there's some of you that's been watching a lot longer than others, but I encourage you to keep watching. Keep watching, keep looking, don't give up. No matter what happens in our world today, keep on watching.
Amen.
Keep on watching. Some of the watch came into the city and shewed the high priest and all the things that were done. Yes, there's a lot of people watching. There's a lot of people watching. But one of two things are happening in our world today. Do you see what I see? Number one, they're watching, but not paying attention. Like listening to only what they want to listen to. Some of us guys have been accused of being selective hearers. There's a lot of that going on in our world today. And there's a lot of selective watchers. And number two, they are watching, but they're watching intently in Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, Netflix, or whatever else appeals to the flesh that keeps them out of touch with reality. I'm going to tell you the truth. See, the purpose is that it's all those things that keep our attention drawn away from what's really important.
Yeah.
Do you see what I see? Church, there are at least 21 verses. At least 21 verses that warn us and encourage us and demand us to keep watching and keep praying. That's what I'm here today for, to encourage you to watch and pray. Matthew 26 and 40, Jesus told his disciples, could you not watch with me 1 hour? Matthew 24 and 42, watch therefore, and you know not neither the day nor the hour when the Son of Man cometh. Mark 13 and 33, take heed, watch and pray, for ye know not when the time is. Psalms 130 and 6, and my soul waiteth for the Lord more than they that watch for the morning. I say more than they that watch for the morning. Morning is coming. 1 Corinthians 16, 13 says, watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quiet you like men, be strong. 1 Thessalonians 5 and 6, therefore let us not sleep as others do sleep, but let us watch and let us be sober. Chris, would you all come to the piano, please? 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 5 through 7 says, but watch thou in all things. Endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, and make full proof of the ministry. For I am now ready to be offered, the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course, and I have kept the faith. And I tell you today, these things that Paul did is the byproduct of watching and waiting and praying. 1 Peter 4 and 7 said, but the end of all things is at hand. Be ye sober and watch and pray. Did you hear what I said, just now said, the scripture? But the end of all things is at hand. Watch and pray. Ephesians, Paul said, praying always with all prayer and supplication of the Spirit, watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication. So are you watching or are you slumbering? Are you alert or are you sleeping? Are you productive or are you floundering? Do you see what I see? And for the second time, I'm closing. Would you stand with me all over the building today? This is the consummation of all that I have preached to you this morning. All I've talked about is found in the book of Acts, chapter 1, beginning at verse number 9. I ask you today, church, do you see what I see? When he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and the cloud received them out of his sight. While they were beholding, a cloud received them out of his sight. And while they looked steadfast toward the heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood with him in white apparel, which also said, you men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing into heaven, this same Jesus, which is taken up from heaven, shall so come in like manner that you see him go up into heaven. Church, are you watching? Folks, are you watching? I hope and pray that none of us that is here in this sanctuary today, that when you see him come back, take his church and ascend into the heavens, and you're still standing there gazing and watching. You don't have to. Watch and pray. Listen, he's coming soon. If the good man of the house had known when a thief would come, he would have watched and been ready. Do you see what I see? Will you see? All these things come to pass. He said, then lift up your head, for your redemption draweth nigh. Would you bow your head and close your eyes with me? Heavenly Father, we love you, we appreciate you, and thank you so much for your Son, Jesus Christ. Lord, I am so thankful, Lord, for those that have come today, for family, for friends. But I pray right now that the Holy Spirit will knock on every heart's door that's in this place. Lord, I ask you, oh God, that the Spirit, your Spirit, oh God, will knock on every heart's door. Lord, that we will see that soon and very soon, all that's happening in our world and in our country, surely, surely, you have told us to watch and pray. And when we see all these things, lift up our head, our redemption draweth nigh. Without any other ado, if you're here today and you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, if you're absolutely sure that your name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life, you have nothing to worry about, you can give God praise and think about resurrection morning. But if you're here today and you question in your heart, is everything all right between me and God? I want to ask you to ask Jesus right now to come into your heart. If you would like for someone to pray with you, I'd like for you to slip out of your seat. If you want to make sure, there's no greater time than Easter Sunday morning for you to make everything right and secure and clear with you and Jesus. He loves you. His arms are wide open, and he desires for you to come unto him. There's still room at the cross. One more time, if you're here today and you do not know beyond a shadow of a doubt that you would go be with Jesus if the trumpet would sound today, I want to urge you to make that day your call, your salvation secure. Is there anyone? You'd slip out of your seat and say, right now, I want to make sure.